Blog Talk Radio.
Yesterday's lesson, we had concluded
last chapter in the book of Joel, which was three chapters. And we are about to begin in the next, by the next prophet, Amos. And some good information here. So without further ado, you know, we realize Amos was a sheep herder and so on and so forth. And so he had some knowledge of sheep herding. And also he dealt with some figs. Those figs in that time, in that location, was not the best figs. You had to punch a hole in the bottom of them in order for them to be quite tasty. So Amos was quite familiar with the sheep herding and agriculture, in some sense of the word. So without further ado, let us get started. Turn to first chapter of Amos. And this earthquake which they're going to speak about in this chapter, they're saying there is no historical record of an earthquake at that time. And that may suggest to you that that earthquake may be the Most High himself is the earthquake that they speak of. But we're shifted out, okay? So, may the Most High bless you by the reading, study, and application of his word. The words of Amos, who is among the sheep herders of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, at that time period, in the days of Jeroboam, son of Joshua, the king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. But they're saying there is no historical record of an earthquake at that time. So perhaps this earthquake is figuratively, as in the Most High being that earthquake, shaking things up, so to speak. But we were meshing out. And he said, Yah roars. Now that is an earthquake. When Yah roars from Yah Zion, he utters his voice from Jerusalem. The pastures of the shepherds mourn. And the top of Carmel withers. The judgment on the nations. Thus said Yah, for three transgressions of Damascus and for four, I would not turn away its punishment, because they have threshed Gilead in implements with implements of iron. But I would send a fire into the house of Hazor. Which shall devour the palaces of Ben-Hadad. I will also break the gate bar of Damascus and cut off the inhabitants from the valley of Avon, and the one who holds his scepter from Beth-Eden, people of Syria, shall go captive to Kir, says Yah. Thus said the Elohim, Yah, for three transgressions of Gaza, and for four, I will not turn away his punishment, because they took captive the whole captivity to deliver them up to Edom, our brothers. I will send a fire upon the wall of Gaza, which shall devour its palaces. I will cut off the inhabitants from Ashdod, and the one who holds the scepter, Ascalon. I will turn my hand against Ekron, and the remnants of the Philistines shall perish, says I, Elohim Yah. Thus says Yah, for three transgressions of Tyre, and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because they delivered up the whole captivity to Edom, again, our brothers, and did not remember the covenant of the brotherhood. But I will send a fire upon the wall of Tyre, who shall devour its palaces. Thus said Yah, for three transgression of Edom, Esau, and for four, I will not turn away his punishment, because he pursued his brother with a sword, even as I speak, and cast off all pity. His anger tore perpetually, and he kept his wrath forever. But I would set a fire upon Timon, their capital, which shall devour the palaces, Bozah. Thus said Yah, for three transgressions of the people of Amnon, and for four, I will not turn away its punishment, because they ripped open the women with child and Gilead, that they might enlarge their territory. For I will kindle a fire in the walls of Rabbah. I will devour its palaces, made shouting in the day of battle, and the tempest in the day of the whirlwind. Their king shall go into captivity, and he and his princes together, says Yah. Well, we're going to keep this right going. I'm not going to do a song check right now. I want this to keep going. I want this to be a continuation of the studies today. So, without a song, I'm going to ask my brother and friend Cottrell of New York City to come right along and go over this chapter right along with us, so we can glean all we can, because this brother is very astute as to the word of the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac. So I want to keep continuity in the studies tonight, shall we? Cottrell, my brother and friend from New York City, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
All praise and honor to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Shalom, my brother Yamsuf Ari, and to the family of Israel that's out there. May the Most High bless you.
Thank you, my brother and friend. Thank you.
Yeah, this is a very short but sweet chapter, because Yah is bringing not only judgment on Israel, but his attention is on the nations that did harm to Israel. We see that he starts with Damascus and the fortress of Ben-Hadad. That sounds like the names that they'll be using today, right? In Damascus, which is in Syria.
Right? Exactly.
Ben-Hadad. And that's basically affiliated with Ishmael, the Ishmaelites. Right. And then we get down to the sixth verse. He said, for three sins of Gaza. Does that ring a bell? Ain't they fighting over the Gaza Strip right now?
Truth be told.
And the people there calling themselves Palestinian.
Palestinians.
And they fighting the Jews. So these ancient names that they used to have are gone. We don't talk about Edom. The Philistines rule Gaza. The people that's in the land today fighting the Israelis or the Edomites or the Jews, they call themselves Palestinians. They don't call themselves Philistines. Mosiah says, I will destroy the king of Ashdod, who is the king of the Philistines, and the one who holds the scepter in Ashkelon. So the Philistines had like five kings.
Exactly.
And that's like an African style. If you go to Africa, there's nations that got five kings in the land.
Exactly.
Europeans never had five kings at one time. So we know you're talking about African Hamitic type people.
Right.
And then he talks about Tyre, which is associated with the Spaniards.
And the Greeks and so on.
Right.
Spaniards, Greeks, right.
They don't use that name Tyre today, do they?
No.
Mosiah put his wrath on them. He said, why he do it to Tyre? Because she sold whole communities of captives. Who were the captives? Israelites.
Right.
To Edom. A lot of us don't know that our brother Esau put us in slavery.
Oh, I do.
And disregarded a treaty of brotherhood. You're not supposed to.
They don't care. They don't care about no brotherhood, no stinking brotherhood.
The treaty of brotherhood. You ain't supposed to put your brother in captivity.
Right.
And sell him or abuse him. And that's what they did.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Exactly.
He said, I will set fire on the walls of Tyre for what they did. They sold my people to Esau, and then he judges Esau. What did Esau do? For three sins, even four, I will not relent. What did he do? He pursued his brother with a sword and slaughtered the women of the land because his anger raged continually and his fury flamed unchecked. To this day, like you said, I will send fire on Teman. Like you said, that's their capital, or the chief prince, or the chief, what they call them, duke of the Edomites, that will consume the fortresses of Bozrah. And then you talk about the Anumnites. I like the way you say Anumnites, but the Ammonites, our cousins. You said for three sins, even four, I would not relent. What did the Ammonites do? Which is why we're not supposed to marry them. Which is why Yah doesn't give them an invitation into the temple. So when Ezra and Nehemiah brought the people of the land back and they was married to the Ammonites and the Edomites and the Ishmael and all these other people, it's something they had to bring them all his family. That's right. So what did Ammon do? Because he ripped open the pregnant women of Gilead in order to extend his borders. That sounds like something the Portuguese practice with our people too. They used to cut the pregnant women's belly open, take the baby out, and smash the baby's head against a rock. How barbaric, how savage, how cruel, how vicious is that? And believe me, if the Most High is doing this to the Anumnites, he's definitely going to do it to the Portuguese, too. I will set fire to the walls of Rabah that will consume her fortresses amid war cries on the day of battle, amid violent winds on a stormy day. Her king will go into exile. He and his officials together, says Yah. So ever since Yah pronounced that judgment on the Anumnites, we ain't heard from them ever since, right?
Nope. We haven't.
They ain't around no more. Where's the Ammonite? People guessing and trying to speculate who they are. But who are they? Most I blew them off the map.
Exactly.
And anybody that touches his people, Yisrael, they got the same thing coming. So it's time for a lot of people to apologize for what they did to our people. Forget the Black Lives Matter chat. Y'all better be out there asking Yah to forgive y'all for what you did to his people and what you've done to his land. He said, you divided up my land and scattered my people. That's Yah's beef with the nations. And he's coming with that fury. He's going to be roaring out of Zion. And I don't think the people of the earth are really ready for that.
Yeah, and that is figuratively an earthquake, my brother. Roaring out of Zion is considered when the Most High roars, that's like an earthquake.
So the European scientists will tell you that there's no record of the earthquake. How long have they been taking records?
Not very long.
And certainly not in ancient times. So how would you know whether or not there was earthquake or not? Were you taking records back then? Absolutely not. So you can speculate. We don't know if there was an earthquake or not. The prophet said there was an earthquake. 2 years. And you got to take his word. What you think he's going to lie to you about an earthquake?
I'm going to take his word. I'm not going to take that word. What am I going to take the word of my enemy for?
They didn't even have, what do they call them? Geiger counters?
Yeah, a documentation about earthquakes. They can't tell you every earthquake that happened in the universe. Come on, man. Stop being ignorant. You're going to be stupid all your life?
But they want to make you seem stupid. Well, we don't know whether or not the prophet was accurate in describing this earthquake that happened 2 years prior to what he's talking about. Come on, man. He could have bought it, man. If he saw an earthquake, he saw an earthquake.
And that's that on that. I'm going to trust my brother, not trust my enemy, okay? Well, listeners, you've heard a power-packed study of the first chapter of Amos with my brother and I. And now is a time for a station break. And we will come back and get right back into our studies. May the Most High bless you with the reading and study and application of his word, and definitely open your eyes. We'll be right back.
1 year ago, I was touch and go. Thy baby sleeps. Thou the mystery taught me that love and time will change your mind and make it right. bringing darkness to the light. My heart sings every night. My love I bring to you.
All right, all right, all right. Hope you enjoyed that lovely song. We walk side by side, and certainly we do on the Real Talk for Real People show. We walk side by side, and we study the word of the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob side by side. And we sharpen each other, and we keep each other motivated and moving in the right direction. As we always say on the Real Talk for Real People study show, because we are over inundated with a violent Western culture, a perverse Western culture, a perverted Western culture, we are totally confused about everything. And we think everything or anything goes, when in fact everything and anything does not go in our culture. We are Eastern people trying to emulate a Western culture, which is not working for us. It is working on us and against us. So that's why we feel that it's imperative that we study our culture, that we become proficient in the study of our culture, so we become masters of our culture in the right application. So if you will, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 25 so we can understand the innate nature of our culture. This was left by our wise king, the son of King Dawood, King Solomon, his son, a wise brother. And it says, these also are the proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied down. They copied this. It is the glory of Yah to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings. Hold on, let me open Cottrell's mic up. I like his running commentary. Cottrell, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is open. My apologies. I like his running commentaries. It is the glory of Yah to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings to search it out. If you call yourself a king, a man in charge, or a queen, a woman in charge, you're supposed to search out matters, not listen to rumors, gossip, tale-bearing, and conspiracy theories. You're to search out matters, not just give lip service to what someone else says. If you're in true leadership, as not in the case of this fellow sitting up in 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, just a position from him, 180 degrees from his thinking. This man don't search out anything. He's just a tweeter twatter, twiddly-dee, twiddly-dumb. And he puts out a twiddly-dee, twiddly-dumb on Twitter. And he's putting these people in dire straits, especially in regards to their children. He's telling, send your little children back to school. Don't worry about it. Bear me later. If you go along for that, something's wrong with you. If you send your little babies, your little grandbabies back to school, something's seriously wrong with you. Something is seriously amiss with you. As Cartier, L, and I made reference to, we're prone to trust our own people than our enemies. But some, on the other hand, because they don't know the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who conceals the matter, and true men and women of our nation search out a matter, you're going to long for the okey-doke. Okay, he said it. Let's do it. Go to school, little Bobby. Go to school, little Sally. Come on, man. Stop it. Search out a matter. Stop taking things at face value.
Especially right,
what it said, my brother and friend?
This verse is addressed to the king. It says the search out a matter is the glory of kings, but sometimes right. The king can't figure it out. So
exactly.
You have to find someone in the kingdom that has the answer, like you said, Daniel or Joseph,
right.
Tormented because y'all concealed the matter from them. But it was wise men like Daniel and Joseph who searched it out because they were connected with the Most High.
Right. And don't take things for granted. That's wise men and women in the kingdom searching. So that's a matter. That's Dr. Fauci and this civilization. But this man pays no heed to doctor. He wants to attack him. Then he wants to send your little children off to school. That's insanity. And then
and also,
you all,
The Most High has concealed from us the knowledge of ourself. So our glory is to search what Yah has concealed from us, which is what we're trying to do with these studies in the Real Talk for Real People show, to uncover what has been concealed from us for at least 401 years.
Exactly. Our character, our nature, our culture. Because what you're seeing when you're seeing so-called black culture in this country, this is not culture, brothers and sisters. Let me assure you. What we have here in this country is no way resemblance of what we used to be or what we used to do. What we have here in this country that we call culture is a hot-ass mess, okay? I said it. It's a hot-ass mess, okay?
It's a culture of survival.
Right. Provided.
It's the way we live in under captivity. You could call that a culture if you want to, but we've been denied our culture, and we're just surviving day to day, paycheck to paycheck, minute by minute, hour by hour.
Yeah, if what they consider as culture is us going together to parties, and then it ends up with blue and white flashing lights and fluttering of yellow tape, I don't call that culture. If they call culture beating and cheating on our women and mistreating our children in the community, I don't call that culture. If they call culture a rap song that's talking about killing, kill the family, kill everybody, I kill all y'all, I want your best friend too, and I get your dog and the pink tutu, I get them all. If you call that culture, something is seriously amiss with you and wrong with you. That is not culture, okay, brothers and sisters? This is culture.
Don't stop there. Because when we get around December 25th, they start singing songs to Santa. We sing it a little bit different. That ain't our culture. We just trying to imitate their culture.
That's what I'm saying. And we are the biggest consumer for most of all these holidays. We have the less money, but we are the biggest consumers going out, buying everything and whatnot, and then ain't got nothing to feed the family at the end of the month or the next month and to pay the bills. This is insanity. This is not our culture. Stop emulating this captivity. This is not a culture. This is captivity. As the heavens for height, for its measurements, and the earth for depth, for its measurements, so the heart of kings is unsearchable. The mind of a king or queen is unsearchable, and shouldn't be like the common man or common woman, because they should be always studious, always searching for the best solution for their people and the best answers for their people from the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and from whoever in the nation that is wise. Not like this guy that up in 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, where the best you see as far as unsearchable, you can figure this guy any day of the week. He's immoral. He has no compassion or sympathy. There's nothing about him that is relative to our kings and queens. This guy's a joke. But yet some of us feel the need to follow this guy. You know, we can see in the case of, what is that, Garrett Candace? In the case of them two clowns, in the case of so many of our people, they feel the need to follow this guy. But they don't realize our kings and queens are deep. They're very deep. They're not shallow people.
Do you see in his character that's good?
I don't see nothing. I see nothing.
Character.
Nothing.
He has no morals.
Yeah.
He has no compassion, no sympathy, no empathy. And he's wicked. He's corrupt.
He's
the epitome of a corrupt politician.
Yeah. Bottom line, he's wicked. And there is no depth to his care. He's not deep. And our queens and queens should be deep people, very deep people.
But you can't figure this man out. You don't know what he's going to do next. Something crazy. So his mind, his heart is like in the depths. It ain't nowhere in the heavens in the heights.
Right.
His man's heart somewhere deep in hell somewhere.
Right. No, that's he's controlled by his impulses. Well, kings and queens, our real kings and queens, are controlled by wisdom and understanding, love and compassion and humility, and most importantly, by the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. By reference, make them deep people. Make them very deep and methodical. take away dross from silver, and it will go to the silversmith for jewelry. Take away the dross, which is a dull look on silver. Then after that, it will go to the silversmith for jewelry. It's fine. And take away the wicked from the king, and his throne shall be established. A kingdom cannot be established by wickedness. And you will see in reference to this, this is no kingdom, but you will see in reference to Emperor Trump. You will see as time go by, his kingdom will not be established by wickedness. It's never have survived. Ask Adolf Hitler. Ask Mussolini. Ask Alexander the so-called great. Ask the Annamites, and so on and so forth. They're not established. They're not here. And so in reference, this kingdom they call the United States of America and this so-called leader won't be established by wickedness, because in the end of the day, he'll have to answer and be punished. And so if you're inclined to follow men of that sort or women of that sort, just like that Kelly McEnany, that got up there and lied when she said she wasn't going to lie, and a lie ain't nothing for her to tell. If you're inclined to follow these people, I suggest that you continue in your studies with us, because those are not the kind of people that we follow. That kingdom won't be established. It won't be talked about like in King David or King Solomon. They won't write a book about this guy like that and tell you to follow him, just like they wrote, they put the Bible together, the Torah together, and they talk about King David, and they talk about Mordecai, Queen Esther, Ruth, Boaz, and whatnot. Come on now.
But they exposed the wicked nations too, because the kings of Sodom and the kings of Gomorrah, they had wicked kings and wicked people, and they could not be established because their kings and their people were wicked. Their kingdom was not established through righteousness. So for all you LGBTQT and sometime MIE,
y'all kingdom won't be established in that. Whatever you're trying to do, whatever you're trying to mother, like they tried to mother Nick Cannon, they tried to mother Ice Cube. Don't talk about us, and you know, don't talk about Esau and so on and so forth. They tried to mother, like I said, Nick Cannon. They tried to mother Ice Cube. They ain't never tried to mother me, because they know I don't work for nobody but the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They said, leave that fool alone. You can't mother him, okay? You know, and like I tell people, yes, I'm a captive, but I'm not enslaved mentally and spiritually. You have some brothers and sisters that are enslaved mentally and spiritually, even though they're captives, that they're going to go along with the program. Yom Suf is not one of those brothers. I may be a captive, but I'm not enslaved mentally and spiritually. And I speak the words of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And whoever it hits, let it be. It's just that simple. And I don't have a hostility when I speak the words of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I just put it out there. And if you're not doing right, the word of the God of Abraham, Isaac, going to knock you down. So don't take it personally and say, Yom Suf don't like Edomites. Yom Suf, he homophobic. Yom Suf ain't nothing but the speaker, the messenger of the word of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I ain't scared of no homosexuals. I ain't trying to hate on the Edomites, but it's whatever the Most High says as far as the Edomites are concerned, and whatever the Most High says about the Sodomites and so on and so forth. So don't take it personally that Yom Suf, he homophobic. I'm not scared of nothing, no homosexuals. I'm just keeping it real. I'm just saying what the Most High says in that regard. And Cartrell is saying what the Most High says in that regard. We're not sugarcoating anything, okay?
See, not like the church. Because that's why they don't want you to read this Old Testament, because they want to carry out their wickedness. They're not teaching you the truth about what y'all are saying. That's why this is so foreign, and they think that it's coming from me and you. But this is coming from the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, if you read what the prophets that he sent are saying. And the fact that you can't handle the truth, that's on you. You're not battling.
That's the key word. They can't handle the truth. They can't handle it, Cartrell.
Right. Most people can't. That's why judgment comes down upon us, and it's too late. to make a change. That's what happened in Noah's time. That's what happened at the Tower of Babel. That's what happened at Sodom and Gomorrah. That's what happened to Judah and Israel. It was too late to change. Y'all heard what y'all was saying. Y'all gave you warning, but you refused to change your ways and make amends. And he brought the judgment down. It was too late. But he does remind you of the judgments that he brings and how he tries to warn before he brings the judgment down. So this is time for warning. So as we already read what Joel is saying, when he stops the sun, the moon, and the stars from shining, which is going to prevent.
It's a wrap. Do not exalt yourself in the presence of the king. Don't go out self-righteous and ringing your own bell in the presence of the king. Be humble. The nature you should have to be humble before the king, in the presence of the king. Do not stand in the place of the great, putting yourself in a great position like you something, all that, you something special. For it's better that he says to you, the king or the leader, come here. Come here, Cartrell. Come here, Yumsu. What y'all doing back in the back? Then you should be lower in the presence of the prince whom your eyes have seen. So it's better for our king to say, hey, Cartrell, come here. Yumsu, come here. What y'all doing back there? Then me and Cartrell to get up, sit up, stand up front there like we all that. Even with the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, it's always better to have a humble attitude. And certainly in the presence of our physical kings on earth. And Cartrell and I come running up front, jostling people out the way like we something special. And it's better for the king to say, hey, Cartrell, Yumsu, y'all come up. I heard about y'all. Y'all come up. I'm going to rap to y'all. See, it's better to humble yourself, and that's to have a humble mind. That's what it's talking about.
You know what king I'm waiting for them to say that to me?
Now, say that again, my brother.
Do you know which king I'm waiting for to say that to me and you?
Yeah. Two kings I'm waiting to say that to me. One is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the physical king, King Dawud. I'm running out, and I'm gonna knock folks out the way, then.
So we got people trying to exalt themselves in the presence of the king of the universe.
Exactly.
And trying to claim a place amongst his great men. We trying to compare with the ancient prophets with all these titles we got.
Exactly.
And we talking about the king of the universe. He's the most important king in existence.
Right. And for him to call you up front, I mean, that
it's better for him to say to you, come up here. You
right.
a Kohen. You the king. You
that's
the prince.
That's a real
right.
honor. That's real.
Rather than you declare, you prince of princes and chief of chiefs and
you give
chief
own
Kohen. Huh?
You give yourself titles. And
right. We're exalting ourselves.
Right. And so it's
do
best
not
for
exalt
the,
yourself.
It's best for the king of kings, Yah, to ask you to come up front, and he bestow a title on you, then you flodging and putting on the hits and giving yourself it meaningless title that has no meaning because the Most High hadn't conferred these titles upon you. Do not go hastily to court. The Most High don't want us going to court against one another, especially these courts in these lands. For what we'll do in the end to take your brother or sister to court. When your neighbor has put you to shame, once you took your brother and sister to court, debate your case with your neighbor. Try to handle the matter with your neighbor, your brothers and sisters. And do not disclose the secret to another. Don't go out tail bearing. Well, me and Cartier had a dispute. And, he said this and I said that. He said, do not disclose the secret to another. It ain't their business. Whatever you and Cartier debate y'all got going on, y'all handle that matter. Okay? Do not disclose the secret to another. Least he who hears it expose your shame. Cartier says, no, I ain't say that to Yumsu. Oh, no, it wasn't even like that. And then put me to shame. And your reputation be ruined. Keep your business in regards to what's going on to someone else. y'all business. Stop running y'all mouths off, man. That ain't right. If me and Cartier got some Anna or whatnot, I need to go to Cartier like a man up, and we discuss the matter, resolve the matter, end of the matter, say no more. It's a wrap. That's our culture. That's who we are. That's who we should be. Cartier, you got any comments on it?
We far from that, brother. We take each other to court in a minute.
Man, what you said? Judge Judy?
Yeah, all the feds don't give me a deal, I'm going to tell them what they want to hear.
Hey, look here. Why do 10 when you can tell on a friend what they said?
What? Y'all say don't do that.
Don't do that. Don't tell on your brother. Let me go
you
on
gotta tell
like,
the truth, bro.
You got to tell the truth. Words fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Words like the words are fittingly spoken, like Cartier and I try to do. We try to make these words of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob fittingly spoken. And so they're precious, so they become precious to you. And you say, wow, that is so beautiful. That apple gold, that word is gold, and it's in a setting of silver. And so your words should be like that. Your words should be choice. You stop using these base words, and your words should be choice words and fitting in your mouth. Go ahead, Cartier.
That's how I feel about the Real Talk for Real People show. Because the words we try to dispense, the words we're learning, the words we're reading, the words we're uncovering, this treasure hunt is exactly what this verse is talking about.
Exactly.
It's a fitting time for these words. Who else is giving us encouragement? Like, yeah, we got a chance before this judgment comes. People ain't even tell you about the judgment. They painting a rosy picture for the future. And the picture they paint don't look too rosy because they ain't solved the problem yet. They talking about getting back to norm. I don't think it's ever getting back to norm. So
no,
what's
ain't
the real solution?
Hey, bro, their sense of what norm is never again. That is not never going to be that way again. The world they have come to know and become to preserve and perfect, that world is over with. I mean, this is the beginning of something entirely different. What is going on in this universe is something entirely different. The world that they have come to perfect and so on and so forth would never be that world again. That's over with. That's a wrap. We're moving forward. The universe is moving forward. Yah is moving forward. And they're moving forward right along with it, whether they know it or not. Okay?
If you look to them for solutions, you're going to die. Because you haven't uncovered what Yah has hidden.
Well, you can see they don't know what's really going on. Here you got the governor of Georgia fighting the mayor of Atlanta, the sister, because she's trying to do the right thing. Mandate, hey, man, y'all need to wear... Hey, you don't be telling them what to do. I tell them what to do. Man, what the hell?
She's following CDC, federal guidelines. What he's doing.
Right. He's following ego run amok.
Really? It's genocide. We want our people in Atlanta to die. Because we're the majority of people in Atlanta, according to my understanding.
And to send a little children to school. Yeah. Come on, bro. Stop it.
Send the children to school.
Yeah. Hey. They put the basketball fans to protect
them. In a bubble.
Yeah, to protect them. And they put the babies in a trap.
And that's genocide. They're trying to kill the next generation. Not only through this virus, but through not only miseducation, but no education now. No education at all.
But like I said, how can a little child focus when he terrorized by Rona? How he going to go to school and focus on his education? He terrorized, he's traumatized. And like I said, something should have been a clue for you. When they didn't enact any gun laws to stop these children from getting slaughtered in the schoolhouse, why are you surprised that they want them to go back to school? Yeah, you know, come on, man. Something should have told you they didn't care nothing about them with the gun laws to enact gun laws that make sense. What makes you think they care about them going back to school under the gun of Rona? Come on now. Something should have told you. That should have been a clue. And we're giving you that clue on the Real Talk for Real People study show. Like an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold. This person is like this, a wise rebuker. To what? Not just any ear, to an obedient ear. That's how that the earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold is like. A wise rebuker to an obedient ear. It's fine, beautiful, fine. Like the cold of snow in time of harvest, is a faithful messenger to those who send him, refreshing. For he refreshes the soul of his masters. And I like to believe, because what Cartier and I try to do on the Real Talk for Real People show, that it refreshes the master. It is refreshing to him. You see, these brothers ain't out there trying to lean to their own understanding. They ain't trying to play self-righteous. They ain't trying to play muckety-muck. But they're simply trying to put my word out there. I can suspect that the Most High finds that refreshing. Because I know, listeners, that by you listening to the Real Talk for Real People Study Show, you find that refreshing.
My book reads, like a snow-cold drink at harvest time.
Right.
Is a trustworthy messenger to the one who sent him. So in ancient times, they went to the snow caps and put their drinks in the snow. They didn't have refrigerators or freezers. But that's smart, man.
That's smart. That's deep. Whoever falsely boasts of giving is like clouds and wind without rain. I mean, when you boast, I did this for so-and-so, I did that, but you boast, but you really didn't do nothing. Whoever falsely, because you're falsely boasting of giving, is like clouds and wind without rain. You're just all substance. You just all show and no substance.
Full of hot air.
Yeah, hot air. All show and no substance. Have you found honey? Eat as much as you need, not as much as you want. Now, I'm saying that part. Eat as much as you need. Least you be filled with it and bumming. See, we have become gluttonous as a people. You've seen us at these buffets have 4, 5, 6 plates. You can't have finished one. And then going back to get some more. We have become gluttonous, and we should. And then because of that, we become overweight. We have become diabetic. We have become high blood pressure. And it's just like a domino effect. But the Most High said, eat what you need. I mean, don't just eat just because you see it. Eat what you need. Okay?
And that honey is sweet. And you can get addicted. You get that sweet too.
Yeah.
So he's counseling you. Yeah, I'm giving you honey, but don't overdose.
Don't overeat it. Eat what you need. You should be filled with it in your vomit. It comes the residual effect of being gluttonous. And hold on, here's what I'm glad the Most High said this. I don't mind folk visiting me. Don't always be knocking at my door. I know. I don't mind folk visiting the country. But now here, what folk need to understand, now if I was in New York City, Cartier would seldom see me. He would see me. That's after I'd have made an invitation. I ain't gonna come knock on his door. You know, Sue, what you doing over here, man? I just got today. My wife up, man. Come on, man. Oh, you ain't called, give me a notification. Let me know 2 days advance you coming by, man. Come on now. Don't do it like that. You know, I love you, brother. You know, give me some privacy. Give your brothers and sisters privacy. Seldom set foot in your neighbor's house. Least he become weary of you and hate you. Stop running up to folks' house all the time. They see you more than they see the folks in the house. Okay? Stop doing
that. OJ's made a song about that. Backstabbing. Out in the street. All the time. They want to take your place.
The backstabbing. Hey, man.
They all up in your crib. You're not even there.
I didn't shout off, man. Hey, man. You made me. I'm sorry, y'all. I digress. That man made me try to do some OJ, man.
He said,
they come to my house again and again and again and again.
Hey, y'all, check it out. Your brother wasn't lying. Yeah, they come to my house again and again and again. They smile in your face all the time. They want to take your place. The backstep. Look at that. Look at that. My brother's wife. Look at that little chin in him in that. Look at that. The clothes he got on. You know everything that man got in his house. Because you're going over there. Stop staying at them folks' house. Okay?
RF in your refrigerator.
Yeah, they don't even ask you. Hey, man, what you got in here? Hey, man, get out of my refrigerator, man. Hey, man, you done got too familiar, man. I love you, bro. You done got too familiar up in there. Don't be coming up and going to my bedroom, don't knock it. Hey, talking my way. Hey, man, come on out of there, man. Now, come on out of there. You done got too familiar, man. You know, you breaking all the rules. Come on, man.
Time for you to go home, bro.
Next time you go home, man. Come on now. Keep it real. I'm trying to teach you something. Well, I'm not trying to teach you. King Solomon's trying to teach you something. Stay out of folks' house. Okay? And ain't nothing wrong with going by there with an invitation. And if there's an emergency, your brother and sister don't care about you coming by with an emergency. But otherwise, every day of the week, you knocking on them folk door. Just stop it, okay? I know y'all out there laughing at Cartier and I trying to sing, but at least we trying, okay? Amen.
And the OJs had them unique Southern voices. I ain't got that. I'm a Yankee boy.
Yeah, I got a little something.
Yeah.
I got a little something. I got a little twist of something.
Okay, that's savage.
Yeah, I got a little something. I do a little something with them. A man who bears. Go ahead, brother.
It's funny that our people sing proverbs, right?
Truth be told.
We sing proverbs.
Yeah.
I mean, you might not call it proverbs, but OJs are singing proverbs about relationships, about emotional situations, about family.
Uh-uh.
It's in us, right?
Country. You remember that part I said, here you come. Skin and granny, talking about my man, my brother, saw it on down.
Uh-huh.
Here you come, skin and granny, talking about my man, my brother, saw it on down. You smile in your face. Stay at them folks' house, okay? A man who bears false witness against his neighbor is like a club, a sword, and a sharp arrow. I mean, he's giving you how this is. The analogy is like a club, a sword, or a sharp arrow. Stop bearing false witness against your neighbor. It is deadly, okay? A club is deadly. A sword is deadly. A sharp arrow is deadly. Stop it.
Like a broken soup or a lame foot.
Yeah.
You could think of all the brothers that are in prison because somebody took a deal.
Exactly. Why do 10 when you can tell on a friend? A lie on a friend. And they've made this culture where it's conducive with that, where you can set your brother up. Confidence in an unfaithful man in the times of trouble. It's like, just like culture, a bad tooth, a foot out of joint, a bad foot. I mean, confidence in an unfaithful, confidence, Donald Trump, like a bad tooth and a foot out of joint, a bad foot. Like one who takes a garment in cold weather and like vinegar on soda. You know how you put vinegar on soda and it fizzes up? It is one who sings songs to a heavy heart. This kind of person, this unfaithful person, this unfaithful paper is just not bad news. Stay away. Your confidence in an unfaithful man at the time of trouble is bad news. Your confidence in the likes of Donald Trump and his administration is bad news, especially they're unfaithful, meaning that they're not men of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and your confidence in them is bad news, okay?
Don't put
and you know what a broken tooth and a lame foot feel like? That's like the worst kind of pain you can have, bro. Besides a back pain.
They don't know. They don't know.
Woo-wee.
A broken tooth.
Ooh. Oh, man, you could be breathing and that cold air hit that tooth. It sends pain to your whole body.
I've had one, man. Stop it. You traumatized me. Traumatized me. I had to have that tooth pulled, man. It was a good teeth. The doctor said it had got chipped. And the doctor said, that's a good teeth. I said, but it ain't in your mouth. I ain't got the money to cap nothing. He said, that's a good teeth. I don't want to pass it, man. Pull that teeth. I said, it ain't in your mouth. Every time wind hit it, ooh, man, you're traumatizing.
And a foot out of joint, you can't walk.
How can you walk with a foot out of joint? I mean, every time you set your foot down, it is excruciating.
Mm.
And so how can you put your confidence in unfaithful men and women? It is excruciating. It is painful. And that's what the most...
Hasn't it been that way for us, trusted in America and the Constitution and their democracy?
Painful and excruciating.
Like a broken foot, bro.
I mean, because they're unfaithful. We can't put no trust in what they're saying. It is excruciating. Okay.
Especially in times of trouble.
That's what I'm saying. So stop.
That's why we're suffering now.
But here's how we all be, Cartrell. We are humble and good people. I know a lot of you want to do an eye for an eye and whatnot and mistreat people. But the Most High said, if your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he is thirsty, give him water to drink. So you will heap coals of fire on his head as a result. And Yah will reward you. Yah will reward you. If your enemy is hungry, oh man, yeah, you can have some of that. You thirsty? Yeah, by all means. You know why? Because you know in our culture, Yah will reward you. Trying to do an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth for your enemy is not always the wise. If they have not shed innocent blood in your family and whatnot, that's not always a good thing. If they have not shed blood, that's not always a good thing. Sometimes you have to have degrees of dealing with people. And sometimes your enemy may have stolen something from you, may have mistreated you and lied on you. But the Most High said, in cases like that, misdemeanors. In case of little misdemeanors, here's what I want you to do. Give him something to drink. Give him something to eat. I'm a reward. Don't worry about them rewarding you. I'm going to give you a reward. I got you. And that's why we all read. That's culture right there. That's class.
And to a large degree, my brother, that's how we've been to our enemies. Because they haven't fed us, and we've been hungry for at least 400 years.
Yeah.
He ain't quench our thirst because we've been thirsty for at least 401 years.
Well, you know, Cartrell.
In them 401 years, when they was hungry, when they was in trouble, we fought by their side, right?
Yep.
We gave them food to eat when they needed it, gave them water to drink when they needed it. But have they ever reciprocated, really?
Earned the favor. And you know what, Cartrell? Here's the deal with that. I think some things have evaded us as a nation, and some things it's hard for us to get away from. It's hard for us to get away from part of our innate character in that sense of the word. I have to concur with you. The north wind brings rain, and a backbiting tongue, an angry countenance. The north wind will bring something. The end result is rain. The north wind brings rain, but a backbiting tongue will bring an angry countenance. It's a domino effect. North wind, rain. Backbiting tongue, an angry countenance. It is. Here we go again, boy.
King Solomon's funny. Yeah, he had to keep saying.
I mean, I guess one must have walked in the door when he was writing this one, and he had to remind him.
He probably ran to the roof when she came in the room.
And write this fucker. He mentioned this, listeners, he mentioned this several times over. And he said, it's better to dwell in the corner of a housetop. You're on the house on the corner.
On the roof.
In the roof. Then in a house shared with a contentious woman. An argumentative woman. It's just arguing for the sake of argument. And you got, you, brother, I don't know about y'all. I've been with women that argue for the sake of argument. And I know some of you sisters have been with men who want to argue just for the sake of argument. The Most High, they're not arguing to seek a solution. They're not arguing to solve a problem. Arguing because that's part of their innate nature. The Most High is better to be on the roof in the corner. In a corner.
Listen. That shows King Solomon's character, right? Because Esther's husband, Queen Esther's husband, he wouldn't stand for that, would he?
No, they'd have been gone, bro.
Long time ago. At least King Solomon ran to the roof. Like, I could take your head, woman, but I'd rather be on the roof.
I'd rather
the blood on my hands.
I could do something to you. I can make sure you come up missing, but I ain't going to do that. I'm going to get up on this roof and this corner.
Poor King Solomon, yo.
I'm going to write this 25th verse of Proverbs. I'm going to make mention of you in it, too.
And listen, with 700 wives, you know, they was beefing. Like, why are you with her tonight? You supposed to come with me.
Yeah.
And he like, oh, Lord, I done messed up the schedule. I done forgot I was supposed to be with her, and here she comes.
Yeah. And then, oh, you ain't got nothing to say to our children, but you talk to her children. Man, all this nonsense. All them my children. What is you saying?
But he brought it on himself, right? He brought it on himself.
Didn't he though, my brother? Didn't he though?
Yep.
As cold water to a weary soul, so is good news from a far country. And certainly, I'm certain the listeners, this is good news the country I'm not bringing to you. In a sense, it's from a far country. It's from the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm sure when you get off this show, you probably say, they're country, they're young, so they're crazy. But then, man, what they said was, man, powerful. And it's refreshing. Not so. And then I can make the right application in my life. I was totally confused about everything. A righteous man who falters before the wicked. You don't want to be dropping on your knees before the wicked.
Uh-oh.
A righteous man, a woman who falters before the wicked. You don't want to drop down and bow down before the wicked. It is like a murky spring and polluted water. Because I'm going to tell you something, brothers and sisters. If you are a righteous man or woman, wicked folks ain't your friend. You are there to contend. Okay? Wicked people ain't your friend. We're there to contend with wicked people, okay? And if you falter and you fall down before the wicked, you ain't always right. You murky. You murky. I'm gonna use that word. You murky. You ain't right. You murky. Your soul murky.
And how timely is this wise saying from King Solomon for Nick Cannon and all them other brothers who's apologizing for standing up for what is right?
There was nothing to apologize about. I wouldn't apologize. And that money meant nothing to lie on myself. And that's why I told a brother. I told
He's
a brother.
He's a millionaire Carter, worried about his money.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I told a brother on Foosball. He said, we all slaves. No, we all captives. But some of us are enslaved in our minds and spirits, okay?
Yeah.
I'm not
especially
enslaved.
Especially when the righteous give way to the wicked.
Exactly. So, no, I'm not going to falter. I'm not going to apologize for telling the truth about anything, okay? So if I'm not popular, fine. If you want to take my paycheck, fine. But I'm going to tell you, here's what I learned about that in past experience. And defending people and taking up for people. The Most High has always made a way, Cartria. I didn't fall before the wicked, and the Most High made a way, okay?
You can't. You're not supposed to. As hard as the tribulation or the trial may be, you can't give way to the wicked.
Oh, you don't want to bend down and bow down. Come on, man. Stop it. If you're doing that,
so
brother.
What that's called in today's term? Being politically correct.
Hey, you know what it calls?
When the righteous give way to the wicked, it's called being politically correct.
Well, I'm going to tell you what it says in the Most High terms, and I concur with you on that. I'm gonna say you some murky brothers, you some murky sisters.
Are you trying to be politically correct?
Yeah, y'all murky. That's my word on it. I concur with you on it, Katya. But to me, I'm gonna use a solid word. Y'all murky, man. Y'all real murky.
And we know that the Most High and his prophets didn't pull no punches, right?
Exactly. And y'all polluted.
They wasn't practicing. They were throwing death blows.
Oh, yeah.
So
we're throwing death blows.
The death blows the Most High told us to throw at the wicked. If the wicked can't stand it, it's too bad.
Yeah. And that's that on that. As far as I'm concerned, Nick Cannon's murky and he's polluted. And, you know, he's politically correct. He's murky and polluted. Because the Most High ain't politically correct. So Nick Cannon is murky and polluted. He faltered before the wicked. It's not good to eat much honey. So to seek one's own glory is not glory. When you're seeking your self-adulation, you know, the one thing I like about Cartrell and most of the people that come on this show, they don't seek self-adulation. They seek to push the Most High, push his issues, his agenda. They don't come in with these meaningless names and titles that not conferred on them by the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they only push the agenda of the Most High. They have no hidden agenda. And so that's what I like about Cartier, because he's not trying to seek self-adulation, just like I'm not. The only thing that I have an interest is the Most High interest. The only adulation I have is the Most High adulation. I'm just like King David. I'm a worm. I ain't nothing special, okay? I'm lower than a worm. I do King David one step. I do one step better than King David. I'm lower than a worm, okay? So I don't need to be trying to seek no self-adulation. I'm just happy that the Most High allowed me to speak his word. And I'm not trying to confer any title upon me, no position, or anything of that matter.
Anything you say, I concur with that. The fact that we're trying to give glory and praise to the Holy One of Israel, we're trying to exalt and magnify the King of the universe, where all mankind, all the nations have failed, and we may be a small voice in the universe, but our voice needs to be heard because we need to exalt Yah and magnify it, you know, in the midst of us, get more of our people to magnify Yah, because we're his servants. How are we going to serve Yah?
Right,
we're just serving. And our job is to serve Yah. And what is our assignment?
Right. And Yom Su can't do nothing for you. What can Yom Su do for you? Yom Su can't do nothing for you. But the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob do everything for you. So why I'm going to lie to myself and to you like I'm something special? I ain't nothing. And don't you ever forget it. And don't you come running to me talking about I can solve your problems. I can't solve your problems. But the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob can. Yom Su ain't nothing. Okay? So, but the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is. And he has all the answers and all the solutions.
And it's funny because I taught my people for a while. Mm-hmm. So they look to me for counsel. So my counsel to them, I try to tell them to rely, trust, have faith in Yah, call on Yah. I give them certain prayers. And after I give them that, and then you call me back, I don't answer the phone.
Yeah, because I ain't trying to be hard. We're not trying to be hard, but we're not Yah, okay? So don't be calling don't be calling our phone like we got the answers for you. I'm not going to lie. I don't have answers. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has the answers. Let me set you on that course of action. And you go with Yah, and y'all work it out. Yom Su ain't got no answers.
Because that's what I do. I don't run to nobody but the Most High Yah. He's my first counselor. He's my first source of help. He's my first source of guidance. He's the one I'm looking for the solution to the problems that I immediately have. I ain't turning to nobody else. And I try to counsel our people in that same fashion because it works for me. It worked for King David. Maybe you should try it.
And it works for me. And just like in the case of my email, you know, I only call my brother Cartrell to let him know because he's my friend. He has a right to know as a friend. I be friendly toward my friends. I show myself a friend. He had a right to know as a friend because it's something that affected me. So, and something may affect him. So I said, my email got problems. I called Avia. I said, my email got problems. But I didn't look for Cartrell to solve my problem. I didn't look for Avia to solve my problem. I look for the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to solve my problem. Now, here I am on the show. I'm doing all right. All right? Y'all solve my problem. And y'all could solve your problem. So I don't have an answer for you. I don't have a solution for you. But the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has all the answers and solutions for you. Okay? And finally,
but y'all too. You do have the answer. You do have the solution. And you do know the problem because we've been reading about it. And we've been sharing it with our people.
But you need to open it up.
And the antidote.
You need to open it up, study, apply it to your heart, and call out to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I can lead a horse to the water, Cartier. I can't make a drink. Okay? That's all I can do. Finally, little listeners. Whoever has rule over his own spirit, not acting with impulse, not acting with anger, is like who has no rule over his own spirit. If you can't control your own spirit, you're like a city broken down without walls. You're indefensible. You can't defend yourselves. If you're acting out of anger, impulse, fear, frustration, you can't control your spirit. You're acting out of fear. You're acting out of anger. You're acting out of impulse. Well, you can't control your spirit. And you have no defense.
You talking about Donald Trump again?
Well, him and a whole lot back him. So, brothers and sisters, y'all need to learn how to control your spirit. Stop acting with anger, ego run amok, impulse, self-righteousness, pride. If you're acting like that, you can't defend yourself. You got to act out of the right spirit, and the spirit of that is God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and emulate his character. Do not be controlled by your anger, your ego, your impulses, or whatever. Be controlled by the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Always remain steady, Eddie, cool, calm, and collected. That being said, I hope you enjoyed our studies together. And Katria has that wonderful Psalms that we've all been waiting for. That wonderful Psalm that we're all familiar with. And he's going to break it down for you like you're 4 years old. Katria, you got the mic.
And I concur with you, brother. The essence of this Psalm pretty much is like control your spirit. And that takes discipline of mind, knowledge, and spiritual discipline, which we ignore. That's why we're spiritually bankrupt. We focus on the material. We look outside of ourselves. We point our finger at other people rather than looking inwardly. And the Most High is always telling us to look inwardly. So, yes, we see our king, King David. He always looked inwardly. He never pointed the finger outside of himself. And he always tried to establish that relationship that he had with the Most High, Yah. So we got to follow his path. Clean yourself up so that you can have that relationship with the Creator. And the Creator knows that we're frail, we got flaws, we got fallacies, we stumble in our sins and our transgressions, and he's willing to forgive us if we are willing to change our heart, circumcise our hearts, and begin to do the right thing. So we read these words to find out how to do the right thing. So we're going to read the 23rd Psalm, and people should know this by heart, right? Little children know this Psalm by heart.
Right.
Praise Yah for the reading of these words, the Psalm of King David, our King, King of Israel. Yah is my shepherd. I lack nothing. I don't like this like interpretation right here, so I'm going to go to the old version.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on 1 second.
Go ahead.
Because it reads more poetically in the old style of King James.
Mm-hmm.
Give me 1 second, bro. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Crazy, I can't even find it. But anyway, I'm going to read it the way they got it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. So when we see that he restores the souls, we think that it means just to get a refreshing cup of water, or ice cold cup of water. after you're tired and weary and worn out, that you get a cold glass of water, your soul is restored. But actually, he's talking about the afterlife being restored in the soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness. Why? For his name's sake. Why is he leading King David in the path that he's got him on? So that Yah can be exalted. Even yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. So anywhere you go on the earth, there's evil. And we in America walk on a land that has shed mad blood and continues to shed blood. Blood begets blood. America was built on blood. America is going out in blood. So we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Every day there's no guarantee of our life, either day or night. You don't know if you're going to get hit by a car. You don't know if you're going to get shot. You don't know. There's no guarantee. So you got to say your prayer when you go out of your house and when you come back in your house to give thanks and praise, because we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And while you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, and trust me, New York City is the valley of the shadow of death. I could tell you, I grew up in New York, and I see my friends die. I've seen people die. Crime is on the uprise right now because people in the streets shooting. So there's no guarantee. I walk outside today that I'll come back tomorrow. But I don't fear. I don't fear any evil because I know that the Most High is with me. Why? Because I say my prayers, just like King David says his prayer, and communicates with the Most High. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because Yah is with me. How many of us are walking with Yah? And that was his intention when he created man, to walk with man. Unfortunately, Adam, our father, and Eve, our mother, they violated Yah's command. He told them a command that they were not supposed to partake in, and they partook in it anyway. So he withdrew himself and left Adam and Eve on their own. Just like with Yisrael, he told us what to do. We didn't do it, and he withdrew himself from us. Whereas King David showed the example because he walks with Yah in his meditation, in his prayer, in his communication. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And Yah has done that for us. We ain't on the cotton fields.
No.
From can't see sun up to can't see sun down with stripes on your back from that whip. No, we in cities. We live in comfort zones. Like the Most High prepared a table before us. At least we have peace of mind. Matter of fact, you can exploit your talents, even though we're still in this prison camp. But it ain't as bad as it was. So he does prepare a table before us to the degree that we can reconnect with him by reading his words. Because even in the lands of our captivity, he's with us by even having his words here on record that we can read and be strengthened by. So even the fact that he prepared a table for King David in the presence of his enemy, he does the same thing for us. We just have to acknowledge it. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. And our cup runs over here in captivity too, but we don't share. Oprah, Jay-Z, all these millionaires and billionaires, their cup is overflowing, but you got to learn how to share with your people.
Right.
And lift your people up so it overflows on everybody, right?
Exactly.
And your cup could overflow too. Most God gives all the opportunity for our cups to overflow. Just apply yourself and ask you how to lift you up. Don't get caught up in the money game, because money is necromancy. Dead white men on paper, we dying and fighting and putting all our hopes in. You want to be a millionaire. A million pieces of paper with dead white men on it. That's your hope.
Crazy.
It says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, which the Most High did. Most High showed King David goodness and mercy with all the wars he had to fight, with all the enemies he had to battle, with his family situation that he had to deal with. Yah showed him goodness and mercy all the days of his life. And what does he say in the end? He says, I will dwell in the house of Yah forever. How do you do that if you don't live forever? How long did King David live? He lived till he was about 80, maybe 90.
Yeah, I think they said 70.
Maybe 70, huh?
Yeah, 70.
Warrior king. But he's telling you that Yah restores his soul, and he's going to dwell in Yah's house forever. Why? Because Yah restores his soul.
That's a long time.
You don't understand that part. Huh?
That's a long time, because you're for a warrior king to live to 70.
Oh, yeah. We can't even live to 70. We ain't no kind of warrior king. If we get past 50, we good. Especially in Harlem. They say we wasn't. When I was growing up in Harlem, they told us we wasn't going to get past 30. And guess what? A lot of my friends didn't get past 30. They was dying at 22, 21, 25. They weren't even reaching 30. Huh?
Dying of what? What were they dying of? What were they dying of?
Gunshot, drug overdoses, going to jail, violence in the street, bro. Friends getting shot. Yep.
I feel you.
Invaded in our neighborhood. Brothers started dropping out of school, started selling drugs, joining gangs.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Gang culture, gang activity. Yeah, gang culture. That's not Israelite culture.
No.
But they'll say that's African American black culture, like the Irish gang and the Italian gangs and the Jewish gangs. It's our culture in the Western Hemisphere, how we adapted, how we are adapting. Right. And we've had to adapt with all the assaults that have been placed upon us. Because we didn't bring cocaine from Colombia or heroin from Afghanistan. We could barely get out of the neighborhood, go downtown into a good school.
What's that? You barely get on a Greyhound bus.
You got to scrape your pennies together to get on a Greyhound bus. Much less go to Afghanistan or Colombia for some drugs in our neighborhood. Who was doing that? Who was pushing that in our neighborhood?
Right.
And how did we have to adjust to it? Oh, we really had to adjust to it, didn't we?
Truth be told.
Now they want to label us as the culprits. Okay.
Right.
Y'all's watching you victimize us and then try to turn us into the culprit.
Yeah, in actuality, we were the victims.
Still are.
Yeah.
Still are. The United States prison industrial complex achieved what it wanted to. Put black men, quote unquote, Israelite men, in captivity where they belong.
Yeah, now put them in double captivity.
Right. Double captivity.
Double captivity.
Y'all ain't on the cotton fields, but we're going to put y'all in the prisons.
Right.
We 12% of the population, but 50, 60% of the prison population?
What did that tell you?
Those numbers don't even add up. We 12%. 12% is what? How big of a percentage is that?
That ain't much, but it adds up for them. It adds up for them, not for us.
And you talking about financially, how much money they making on the prison industrial complex?
Hey, bukus of money. Bukus.
So,
well,
vampires. They're living off our blood.
For sure. Well, listeners, we hope you enjoyed the Real Talk for Real People study show. I want to thank you, Cottrell, for your devotion to the Most High and your commitment to His Word and commitment to getting the Word across to the people, our people, and the universe by virtue of the Real Talk for Real People study show, which is an international radio talk show. And it's an honor to work with you. We're like Joshua and Caleb. We're a good team working together for the Most High. And we have the right attitude. When you got the right attitude, it's the right aptitude. And certainly we have the right attitude. We have the right aptitude, which is we're humble. And one don't think themselves no better than the other. And that the Most High is better than all of us. Cottrell, any closing thoughts, my friend?
Yes, all that you said, man, I appreciate you more for providing the platform to where we could get this message out. Because I don't know how I could do it any other way. But, you know, I appreciate the platform that you provided for us to explore more and more what Yah has told us. So I'm just hoping that people, you know, search out what we say. You may not like what we say. You may not agree with what we say. But search it out for yourself. You know, speak for yourself. Because it's not our words.
Right. They got the book. Study for yourself. Don't take our word at it. That's what we don't want you to do. Don't take our word at anything. Don't take anybody's word at anything. Because your souls are too valuable. So take the word of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob for everything. Okay?
And I say, if you find some place where our interpretation or our analysis was wrong, let us know, because we want to know the truth.
We ain't going to take it wrong. We ain't going to take it wrong. Not at all. Okay?
Right.
We ain't got. We don't have.
We want to become wiser.
We don't have any self-conferred, self-imposed titles. We're just humble brothers, okay? Trying to get the word out there. That's all. Well, listeners.
And trying to learn more for ourselves.
Truth be told.
I know. I don't know it all. As much as we're reading, I know I don't know it all. And I ain't going to profess that I do.
No, I ain't going to lie and tell you that lie. Okay? All right, listeners. All right, Cottrell, thank you, my brother and friend. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in to the Real Talk for Real People Study Show. We look forward, the Most High willing, that you come back with us this Monday and we continue our studies together so you can learn the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and you can learn what he wants, what he don't want, and make the right application in all areas of your life to improve your life, to enhance your life, to advance your life. That being said, listeners, we don't know where you're going, but you're finna get ready. Get out of here. May the Most High bless you, Cottrell. May the Most High bless you, listeners. And may your steps be directed.
God bless you as well.
Thank you very much, my brother. Thank you very much, my friend. Listeners, may your steps be directed and ordered by the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. May you not lean to your own understanding. May you study the word of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and make the right applications in your life to advance, improve, to make your life better than what they are in this captivity. Well, we love you. Be blessed over the weekend and continue being devoted to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. May the Most High bless you, listeners. We love you. Shalom. Thank you, Cottrell. Shalom.